please turn to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 7. I'm going to read just the A part of this verse as the text today for our subject, the preciousness of Christ. 1 Peter 2, 7a. This is speaking of Christ our Lord. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. This past week I learned that the current price of gold has passed $1,957 an ounce. Think of that. Only one single ounce of gold is now worth $1,957. Gold is a precious metal whose value is recognized by everyone. Our text today speaks of something which is precious to believers, far more precious than gold. Amen. This text flatly states a fact. Peter is speaking of Christ when he says, "Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious." The Lord Jesus was so precious to our Baptist forefathers that they gave their very lives rather than denying him. They told by their dying how precious Christ was to them. John Bunyan spent 12 years in Bedford jail. He could have gotten out just by renouncing the word. He spent 12 years in Bedford jail because Christ was more precious to him than his freedom or even than his family. The Lord Jesus Christ is precious to believers. He is more precious to them than property or family or friends or popularity or job or loyalty to some denomination or money or anything else in this world. In seeking to open this text of Scripture today, I want us to consider four basic questions, and then I want to make some practical applications. Question number one, what is meant by precious in this text? Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. Well, to say that something is precious is to say that it is of great value, that it is of great worth, that it is costly, that it is very dear, that it is beautiful to look at, that it is an object of affection. The basic idea involved in the word precious is that of value. When something is precious to a person, it is of great value to him. And there are three important aspects of value. First, there is rarity. Things are precious, they are of value because they are rare. Diamonds are precious stones. One of the reasons why they are valuable is because of their rarity. Diamonds don't grow on trees. Diamonds are not easily found. There are not many of them compared to other objects. A second important aspect of value is beauty. The value of diamonds and other precious stones and of gold and other precious metals lies partially at least in their beauty. What can compare in the physical realm to the shimmering lights of diamonds and emeralds and rubies and to the glitter of gold and silver and other precious metals? One time my father-in-law and I attended a an emerald exhibition in Atlanta. And the emeralds on display there were from the country of Peru. And I have never seen the beauty that I saw in that green stone called an emerald. And some of them were huge. Or when we visited Israel and Mexico, both of them had opals that looked like a rock that was on fire. The beauty adds value or is involved in the value of something precious. And then the third thing involved in the concept of value is usefulness. The value of things consists in part in the uses of which to which those things can be put. Jewels and precious metals can be used as money. They can be used as the backing for money and thus as the basis for a national economy. They can be used as investment. They can be used as adornment. And for any number of things, even industrial uses, as in the case of diamonds. Their value lies, in part at least, in their great usefulness. Our text today says that Jesus Christ is precious unto you, therefore, which believe. He is precious. Jesus Christ is the jewel among jewels to the believer. He is the priceless gem of the saints. We can never place too much value on Christ. He is so valuable to his people that he is above price. He is spoken of in 2 Corinthians 9:15 as God's unspeakable gift. To the believer, Christ is all, or everything, as Paul says in Colossians 3:11. And that which is all is precious, is it not? Christ has the preeminence in all things to the believer. Paul says so in Colossians 1:18. Psalm 45:2, and we'll turn to that a little bit later, expresses the sentiments of God's people toward Christ. When the psalmist says to Christ there, "Thou art fairer than the children of men." The Lord Jesus is so precious to the believer that the believer will part with everything he has in order to get Christ. He will part with his own righteousness in order to get Christ. You know, if you're trusting in your own righteousness, Christ isn't precious to you yet. The Jews in Paul's day would not renounce their own righteousness for the righteousness of Christ. Instead, as Paul says in Romans 10:3, they went about to establish their own righteousness rather than submitting themselves to the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. But believers in Christ will part with their own righteousness and will count it as loss and dung, as Paul says he did in Philippians 3:8. Let's turn to that. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 8. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 8. Paul says, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness of God, which is by faith. Question number two that arises from this text. Why is Christ precious to believers? Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. Again, value is in rarity, beauty, and usefulness. As we think of the preciousness of Christ to his people, we must note that he is precious to them, first of all, because of his rarity. To speak of the rarity of Christ is to speak of the fact that he is the only Savior. He's, you know, the Savior is rare. He's the only Savior. He is the only one who can save you from your sins. Turn to Isaiah 43, 11. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 11. Here, the Lord says in Isaiah 43, 11, I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Jesus Christ is rare, and thus he is precious to us, because he is our only, he is our one link between ourselves and God. Turn to 1 Timothy 2:5, which tells us this in other language. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. Christ is our only link between ourselves and God. 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Next, turn to John 14, 6. You probably have this verse memorized, but let's look at it. John 14 and verse 6. Here the Lord Jesus says of himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. One more. Turn to Acts 4:12. Acts chapter 4. We're talking about the rarity of Christ the Savior. Acts 4:12. Peter speaks here and he says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Christ is rare and thus valuable and precious to believers, furthermore, in that he is the one sacrifice for sin that God will accept. Hebrews 10:12 tells us that Jesus Christ offered one sacrifice for sins forever. His blood is the only sacrifice that can keep us from being condemned sinners and under the wrath of God. This is part of the reason why it is called the precious blood of Christ in 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. Jesus Christ is rare and thus valuable and precious to the believer in that his is the only righteousness that God will accept on our behalf. Deep in my heart, there's a gladness. Jesus has cleansed me from sin. Praise to his name. What a Savior, cleansing without and within. Why do I sing about Jesus? Why is he precious to me? He is my Lord and my Savior. Dying, he set me free. Christ is precious or valuable to believers not only because of his rarity, but also because of his beauty. The Christian sees a beauty in Christ that he sees in nothing and no one else. How great is his beauty, says the believer with the prophet in Zechariah 9:17. Let's look now at Psalm 45 and verse 2. Psalm 45 and verse 2. Here the psalmist is speaking of Christ. He actually says to Christ, "Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore, God hath blessed thee forever." Christ is fairer. He has more beauty and more desirableness to his people than all the men of this world, more than all the prophets, more than all the kings of old. As the old song says, he is the fairest of fair ones. He is the lily, the rose. Rivers of mercy surround him. Grace, love, and pity he shows. Song of Solomon 5:16 is the words of Christ's people saying that he is altogether lovely. The beauty of Christ to his people is such that there is nothing in him that is not lovely. I remember a little chorus we used to sing as teenagers. Altogether lovely. He is altogether lovely. And the fairest of 10,000, this wonderful friend divine. He gave himself to save me. Now he lives in heaven to keep me. He is altogether lovely, this wonderful Savior of mine. How or in what way is Christ fairer than the children of men? Where does his beauty lie? Turn with me to Song of Solomon 5:9. Song of Solomon chapter 5 and verse 9. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, chapter 5 and verse 9. What is thy beloved more than another beloved, O thou fairest among women? What is thy beloved more than another beloved that thou dost so charge us? What is this beauty which believers see in their precious Christ? Wherein does it lie? Basically, it lies in two things. First of all, his beauty is in the glory of his person. It's in who he is. Paul tells us in Colossians 2:8 that in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That means every perfection of God is found in Jesus Christ. Turn to John 1:14. John chapter 1 and verse 14. The scripture says here in John 1:14, "And we beheld his glory." And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Fairer and altogether lovely. These are descriptions of Christ's person. Time will not allow us to list all of the glories of his person here. In fact, it would take weeks to sit down and try to write them all down and think about them. Secondly, the beauty which believers see in Christ is in the excellency of his work of redemption. Only Jesus Christ could do the work of the redemption of God's people. Only Christ had the qualifications to do this work. The law could not do it. Turn to Romans 8:3 here. Romans chapter 8 and verse 3. The law could not qualify for the work of redemption. Paul says here in Romans 8, 3, "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending His own Son, in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh." So Christ is precious to His people because of the beauty that they see in Him, and His people desire to look on that beauty. Turn to Psalm 27 and verse 4. Psalm 27 and verse 4. The believer's testimony is with David here in Psalm 27, 4. "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold," or to look at, or to see "the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple." God's people want to look at the glory of Christ. Christ is precious or valuable to His people because of His rarity, because of His beauty to them, and thirdly, because of His usefulness to them. Jesus Christ is useful in many ways to those who believe in Him. He can be said to be useful to believers, first of all, because of the fact that we receive nothing from God the Father except it is given to us through Jesus Christ. All the spiritual blessings come to us in Christ. Turn to Ephesians 1:4. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. Paul says here, Ephesians 1:4, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Every blessing the Father gives us is given to us as we are considered in Christ. We've already turned to it here. Our election is in Christ, according to this verse, where Paul says, "According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world." Our calling is in Christ. We are justified in Christ, sanctified in Christ. We shall be glorified in Christ. Jesus Christ is useful and thus precious to the believer in the relations in which He stands to His people. He is the tender head of the church. He is the good shepherd of His people. He is the loving brother. He is the faithful friend who never fails in the time of need. He is the great physician. He is the surety of His people. Jesus Christ is useful and thus precious to His people because of His advocacy, which He is exercising for us at the throne of grace. Turn to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. John the Apostle says here, "My little children, these things write unto you, that ye sin not." And he's writing to Christians. "And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." Now, an advocate is one who speaks for us. He speaks on our behalf. Hebrews 7:25 says that Christ Jesus ever liveth to make intercession for us. Now, Satan may speak against us, but Christ intercedes for us. He intervenes with the Father on our behalf. He is our advocate. Jesus Christ is useful and thus precious to us in that His sacrifice was so valuable to the Father that the Father is satisfied with that sacrifice. God's law has been honored. His justice has been satisfied by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. A third question I want us to consider here: when is Christ precious to believers? And I would say at the outset that Christ is always and at all times precious to His people. But there are some times when He is particularly so. And I want to mention some of these here. When is Christ precious to His people? He is precious to them, first of all, in the hour of conviction of sin. In the hour when the Holy Spirit has shown us how wretched and how miserable and how undone and how undeserving and how hell-deserving in the sight of God we really are. When we feel that because of our sins we are lost and deserve to be cast into hell, and then Christ says to us, "Thy sins, which are many, are all forgiven." Then He is precious. When is Christ precious to His people? He is precious to us in the hour when our souls hunger and thirst after righteousness. When by God's word we see our need of a perfect righteousness in which to stand before God. When we see no righteousness in ourselves and no possibility of having any. And then the Holy Spirit reveals to us the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ, worked out in His perfect life of keeping God's law and His substitutionary death on the cross. Then Christ is precious to the believer because he sees Christ as the righteousness which God will accept on his behalf. Where is anything as precious to the poor, unrighteous sinner as Christ? Those who believe in Christ have often found Him precious in the time of temptation and assault by Satan. In such times, He is precious because we realize that Christ was tempted in all points like as we are, yet was without sin. And so He sympathizes with us when we pass through temptation. And He goes beyond sympathizing in that He gives the promises of His Word and the aid of the Holy Spirit to enable us to resist. Turn to 1 Corinthians 10:13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. Here the Apostle Paul is speaking, and he says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you or allow you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it." These promises of Christ in His Word are precious promises, as Peter calls them, because they're given to us in and by Christ. When is Christ precious to believers? He is precious in times of trial. When He tells us that all things are working together for our good, and He tells us that, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." You know, there's a great old song, and it's not very good musically, but the message is there. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I'm tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me home. There's another hymn. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In His arms He'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. Christ is certainly precious to believers in times when we have buried our loved ones, because He says to us, I am the resurrection and the life. When is Christ precious to the believer? In times of personal, private devotion and worship, when we commune with Him as friend with friend. We come to know Him better in our communing with Him, and the better we get to know Him, the more precious He becomes. The fourth question I want us to consider here emphasizes something that I've already been saying over and over. To whom is Christ precious? Unto you, therefore, which believe, He is precious. So Christ is precious to them that believe. He is precious to the saved, to those whom the Holy Spirit has regenerated and given faith in Christ. Only faith can see the true value of Christ. Just as a little child can see no value or special beauty or usefulness in a choice diamond, so the unregenerate eye cannot see the beauty and worth and usefulness of Christ. Turn to 1 Corinthians 2:14. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14 tells us that an unregenerate eye cannot see the beauty of Christ. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You have to be spiritual to appreciate spiritual things. Jesus Christ is not precious to unregenerate, unbelieving sinners. They see no beauty, no form nor comeliness in Him that they should desire Him. Charles Spurgeon, in commenting on this fact, said, quote, to carnal sense and reason, Jesus is far from precious. To human wisdom, Christ is not precious. See how men tug and labor to get rid of His deity and to trample on His precious blood. What labored learning is brought forth to drain inspiration out of His book and steal satisfaction out of His blood. But unto you, therefore, which believe, He is precious. Faith calls Him precious when others esteem Him a root out of dry ground. Unquote. The Christian sees Christ as precious because he's been given a nature that hungers and thirsts after Him, that pants after Him as the hart or the deer pants after the water brook, as David says. Beauty truly is in the eye of the beholder in this matter. Here is a simple test of our salvation. Is Christ precious to me? What think ye of Christ? And please note that our text does not speak of the preciousness of sound doctrine, nor of the Word of God even, but of the preciousness of Christ. Now, all those things are important, But the scriptures speak of the preciousness of Christ. God's people love to hear Christ preached. They will always come to where Christ is preached. And they will do so without gimmicks, without promotions, without socials, because Christ is precious to them. Is Christ precious to you today? If you are saved, He is. Not just He ought to be, but He is precious. Whatever else may or may not be true of your condition, is Christ precious to you? Christ's people often say of Him, as was said of Solomon by his lover in Song of Solomon 5:16, "This is my beloved." Can you say this of Christ today? And do you say this to Him or of Him? If the faith that you have makes Christ precious to you, if it makes Him inexpressibly dear to you, then your faith is the faith of God's elect. In conclusion, the preciousness of Christ ought to have some practical effects on us. And I want to mention just two of them here very quickly. First of all, the preciousness of Christ to us ought to cause us to become thoroughly acquainted with Him and everything about Him. Turn to Philippians 3, 8 through 12. We've read part of this, but we'll read the entire passage here. Philippians 3, 8 through 12. Again, Paul is speaking, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus." One becomes more thoroughly acquainted with Christ. He comes to know Him better through preaching and Bible study and prayer and communing with Him. Secondly, this preciousness of Christ to us ought to lead us to loving obedience to Him in our lives. If Christ is precious to us, and we should have no difficulty in submitting to His lordship and following His commands, whatever they might be. We will obey His commands and do so lovingly if He is precious to us. Let us pray. Our Father, we're thankful for our precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that we would rejoice in Him today, having seen what Your Word says about Him and His preciousness to Your people. We pray for any that may be here to whom Christ is not precious today. May the powerful working of Your Holy Spirit come and regenerate those persons and give them faith in Christ. May they turn from their sins and may Christ become precious to them. We thank You for this church. We thank You for this pastor. We thank You for the sweet fellowship we have with the people here. We pray all these things in Christ Jesus' holy name and for His sake. Amen.